You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. Paul, it's been 2 weeks I've been out. It's good to see you again.
Wasn't sure Letitia was going to let you back in. She was doing a pretty good job here in your absence.
Yeah, I've heard, and I was a little worried about my job security here. So I'm glad that she did a good job. I'm sure you guys had a great time without me.
You're always bringing in the coolest people, though. First of all, I feel very, for those of you just listening to podcasts, you really should go to YouTube and check it out. As I'm telling you, these guys come dressed to do a show.
Well, we're doing a show, Paul. So I'm real excited today. And from previous shows, I think listeners have an idea of a little more who I am, what my passions are. Certainly it's finance. That's what I do for a living. But it's also certainly a passion. We had a great guest about wine, which is one of my other passions, also being a sommelier. Some of you know I'm kind of a style and fashion guy, as Paul will attest to. But certainly last and definitely not least, health and fitness. This is my 38th year of actually working out, weight training. And the exception of three surgeries, one on each shoulder and then one, I'll say very softly, vasectomy reversal. But
what?
So those are the only extended times of not working out. Other than that, I've never missed more than 2 days in 38 years.
Wow.
And which brings me to our guest. So after all of these years, certainly my love is weight training, but I realized that I wanted to do something different. And one thing led to another. A good friend introduced me to our next guest, Josh Graves, who has been a great help in, I think, extending these old bones and muscles, showing me some of the benefits of cross training and HIIT training and functional training, which we're going to talk about. So with that, I'd like to introduce Josh Graves. His company is Fitness on Fire. I've been so impressed with you, Josh, as a young, ambitious, and certainly knowledgeable. You've taken my level of information and just brought it to a whole new level. I think it'd be great if you tell a little bit, the listeners, a little about kind of how you got to where you are as a gym owner slash personal trainer.
Awesome. Thanks, Bart. And gosh, the pleasure's all mine, buddy. It's been awesome. I've worked with you now for, I think, a little over 3 years now.
3 years, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And gosh, 5 a.m.'s, 5 a.m.'s without a miss, man. So awesome, awesome. So yeah, I've been around fitness, working out, the weight room my whole life. I played most sports growing up, wrestling, basketball, ran track, and my first love was football. And I'm going to take you back actually before I even started playing football, and it was around the time I was 11. So when I was 11, my mom got married, and we actually moved from California out to Indiana to pursue my stepdad's career in truck driving. Really interesting. I was listening to your first podcast, and yeah, you and I have a very similar upbringing.
Oh, interesting.
But if you've read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I'm
yeah,
sure you have,
yeah, yeah,
you basically have like the rich mom version, and I have like the poor mom version. So we'll love my mom to death, but we'll talk about that another time. But anyways, when I moved out to Indiana, the school systems were on a different timetable. So when I moved out to Indiana, I was actually a year younger than the youngest kid in my grade at the time.
Huh.
And I actually decided I wanted to play football when I moved out to Indiana. So here I was starting a new sport, and these kids have been playing Pee Wee football, Pop Warner. They've been playing their entire lives. So I'm brand new to the sport, and I'm a year behind these kids developmentally, which
yeah,
is a huge deal at
sure,
11, 12 years old. So I kind of learned at a young age, though, that there was a correlation behind having a good attitude, putting in some elbow grease, man, some hard work, and the results I was getting on the field. I noticed that if I worked hard, I started getting a little bit faster. I started getting a little bit stronger. If I listened to what the coaches said, I'd catch the ball more often. And I noted that I was running faster than kids that were older than me. I was lifting heavier than kids older than me. I was hitting a little bit harder. And at that time, that kind of made me fall in love with the self-development that is fitness. The idea that if you put in some work, you have some control or influence over the result, right? So during my high school career, I became a pretty solid athlete. I hold some records that are still there today, and won 2 state championships. Yeah. I ended up with a football scholarship to come out here back to California to play at San Diego State. Fast forward, after school, I actually started working in the fitness industry at 24 Hour Fitness. I was in the big box gym setting for the better part of 8 years, And 24 Fitness was good to me. I had a lot of opportunities there as a sales guy, trainer, training manager, general manager, and eventually regional training manager, some other cool things and some opportunities there. 2010, 2012, I was actually chosen to represent 24 Fitness, and I got to go to the Olympic Games and be a part of the support team for the USA Olympic Committee, which was really cool. So I got to go to Vancouver and London.
Cool.
And got to meet some athletes and stuff. That was neat. And when I came back, I just knew there was such a big world in fitness that I had to get submersed and I had to dive in. And so in 2014, I actually left my cushy salary and my good job, and I just wanted to learn more about the fitness industry. You know, since then, I think I've experienced every expression of the vocation of a personal trainer. I've done mobile in-home training. I've held space as an independent contractor in large training gyms. I did the whole parks and beach boot camps and all those kind of things. And I started a YouTube channel where I interviewed some of the most successful trainers in the industry. And then in 2015, we decided to grand open our own brick and mortar, my wife and that was Fitness on Fire. Fitness on Fire has been a blessing. It's been awesome. That's actually around the time I met you. I think you came in, I don't even know, 90 days or something after I opened the gym.
Must have been,
at the most.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that much. Maybe like 30 to somewhere in the early, early phases of the business. But the team's grown. I mean, I have a team of 9 fitness professionals now. One of the things that we've become renowned for is our adventure racing programs. In about 3.5 years, we've put over 400 athletes into different competitions, such as 5Ks, marathons, triathlons, Spartan races, obstacle course races, which is one of my favorite loves.
Yeah, I'm going to get to you on that because you're kind of a warrior in that area, so we'll talk about that in a bit.
Definitely a weekend warrior, for sure. I turn up a little bit. Yeah, I believe Fitness on Fire is well on its way to becoming a world-class brand, Bart. It's been a lot of blessings.
Yeah, well, I would have to agree. So in addition to 5 o'clock in the morning when I drag you in to meet me, the motivation that you provide, one of the great things is you have the wall, the quote wall. And there's so many great ones, but one of my favorites is the quote-unquote, the ultimate wealth is health. Mm-hmm. And what that reminds me of something in my business where I think our businesses kind of collide and more than one level. But what I've seen is people spend much of their life, if not most of their life, trying to pursue wealth at the expense of their health, only to spend the small remaining part of their life utilizing all of that wealth to try to regain your health.
Interesting.
Let's elaborate on a little bit, because I know that holds true in your mind thought as well.
Gosh, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. You hit it right on the head. People spend all their able years chasing wealth, and then when they're no longer able, then they don't have anything to do with all that wealth. So I think think about your body as like a vehicle, and if we can use just a car analogy for something simple for people to relate to, if you don't drive to work with 3 wheels on your car. You don't not check your, you definitely check your oil. You put gas in there. You swap out the fluid. You wash the car. You have to take care of that car if you want that car to get you some from A to B, right? It's very simple. I think in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey talks about production and production capability and the idea that you have to keep up the vehicle if you want to be able to drive it. So I think that anywhere you go, your body's going to be there. And so you definitely got to do some work to take care of it.
Yeah. Great.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So this is kind of related, but, share your interpretation of the benefit of health and training to, I don't know, I was going to say business people, but it goes beyond business people to, the mom that wants to be a great, healthy mom for, through being grandparents and being around a long time for your kids and for your grandkids. So just kind of the long-term benefits of health, training, fitness.
Gosh, there's so much. So I want to give you another quote that I read recently that I like that kind of ties in with everything we're talking about, which is a healthy man has many wishes, but a sick man only has one.
That is so true.
And I like that idea. So sometimes people, they get by and they don't, if you've ever had I'm sure you've had a cold before, right? You've had a cold?
Maybe one.
You're at the point where you've had so many days that you weren't able to breathe properly that you almost forget what oxygen really feels like. And it's not until after the cold clears, you're like, oh my gosh, this is what oxygen feels like. I think a lot of people live in that space where they don't realize how much better life could be, how much brighter things would be if they were taking care of themselves. If they were taking care of themselves, a lot of the times they take that breath of fresh air and like, oh, this is what wellness feels like. This is what having energy to get up at 4:30 in the morning and do a 5 a.m. workout feels like. Yeah. This is what having a crazy sex drive for my significant other feels like. This is what feeling great in my clothes feels like. So it's like a breath of fresh air for the first time for people when they actually become healthy. And tying back to your question about how does this play into the life of a business professional or just about anybody, I'll tell you a story. I had a lady at my gym who came to me initially wanting to lose about 40 pounds, and her main motivation was she had a race coming up that her husband and one of his best friends and their lifelong friend were going to do together. And they kind of joked with her like, oh, it's okay. You couldn't do that race with us if you wanted to. And she'd never been a person that was into health, wellness, working out, any of those kind of things. She was scared by it. She's afraid of the gym. She's afraid of working out. So she put it on herself that she really, really wanted to prove that she could get a seat at that table and she could run that race with him. And so, gosh, man, her story is awesome. I mean, she came into the gym with no experience whatsoever, just, again, petrified. And we basically taught her everything from the ground up, and her whole life has changed. So in the span of a year, she lost over 30 pounds. She got a chance to run that race with her husband and their friend, and they completed the race together, a Ragnar race. She's done kettlebell competitions and Spartan stuff. All that's cool. But not only does she look great and have some of those things happen in her life where she could do things she never thought she could do, but more importantly, like, her relationship with her family changed. Her son, growing up in his teenage years, 15 years old now, is super active. Before, they had no relationship. Now she goes rock climbing with her son. She's it's awesome. She actually ran a Spartan race with her son and husband in Hawaii last year. And learning about her food, she's overcome actual food eating disorders. She got over some fears of some things that were like some childhood issues that she was able to work out through fitness and learn how to get past some of these things that have been holding her back for a while. And so the gym for a lot of people, Bart, isn't just about wellness and fitness. Sometimes it's a chance for people to get it all out on the table. It's a chance for them to practice certain disciplines, to challenge themselves a little bit, to push themselves to a light bit of discomfort and grow from those things and have some way to consistently measure growth every day. And a lot of people get a lot out of that.
Yeah.
I'd also like to mention that the way you do one thing is the way you do all things. And so something I've learned about you and working with you for so long now is in 3 years of us training at 5 a.m., you've never missed a session. You've never missed a session. You've never had an excuse. You never show up with a poor attitude. And that tells me why you're very successful in your career as well, right? It's a no-brainer. The way you do one thing is the way you do all things. I think it was interesting when you had Adrian on your show, you saw this guy in the gym that has certain discipline and a certain regimen that he was always there. You're like, I got to meet this guy. There's something fascinating about this guy. I want to get to know him a little bit because, again, the way you do one thing is the way you do all things. I bet that guy's a successful professional. I can tell by watching his workouts.
Yeah, and by the way, he totally is. And, you know, you hit on something. We talked about it with Adrian, and I kind of share with my personal story that discipline is something I think some people may be born with the propensity to be disciplined and or you can learn it. Either way, I think it's so important in all aspects of your life. And it, for me, it does cover all aspects of my life. And, you know, for me, working out is, skipping a workout would be like for me skipping to brush my teeth in the morning. I mean, it's just part of getting up and going. I mean, and I don't think I could endorse that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd also like to talk about a couple of the pain points I see from business professionals sometimes, right? That they're exhausted. You have literal pain points. My back, my neck, my shoulders, all these things hurt. High stress that leads to later being heart disease or other issues that they come across at some point. Insomnia, uncomfortably overweight and feeling awful in your clothes. I just picture this, Bart. Picture that you made a clone of yourself and you're standing right next to you. Same age, same height, same gender, same weight, all this stuff. And one of you eats garbage, one of you eats clean, right? Yeah. The guy that is fueling himself with 89 unleaded versus you that fuels with rocket fuel, you just have an advantage. That's it. So at the end of the day, if you want to have an advantage over anybody in your space, if you want to be living your best life, you have some control over the things by taking care of your wellness. It's just an extra advantage. That's all.
You know, that kind of parlays into something I was going to ask a little bit later, but let's go into it now. So one of my favorite little quotes is, you know, everybody likes abs, right? That's kind of the thing.
Sure.
And how many people come to you and say, I want to have abs and I've been doing 500 pushups a day and I don't have any abs.
Sure.
Right? But you and I both know that abs are made in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Right? So there's a gal in my office, that's, so this is related. She a bit overweight, and I saw her come in, you know, started about a month ago, and she had these like bags of like prepared food. I'm like, hey, what's going on here? She goes, I'm on a new eating program. I meal prep. I got to eat I'm eating six meals a day, and you know, every couple hours when I go in the kitchen to get my meal, I see she has her broccoli or little sweet potatoes and chicken. I'm like, right on, girl, right on.
Sure.
And she came up to me and had this big old smile. I was in the kitchen, you know, grabbing a meal, and she's like, 11 pounds.
Wow.
1 month, 11 pounds. And I go, how you doing? How you feeling? She goes, never felt better. I go, and it looks like she could continue to do more. So I asked, but I didn't want to assume. I go, well, are you done? She goes, heck no, I'm just getting started.
Awesome, yeah.
And another thing, we know about making a habit too with 21 days. So now that she's into 3 months, I asked a question, I knew the answer. So is it hard still? She goes, no, it's just so natural now. And I've involved the family and we're cooking these great healthy meals.
That's great.
So I know you've had experience with nutrition too. So you know, what would you like to add to that?
Oh my gosh, nutrition's such a deep rabbit hole to go down, right? But I will touch on a few things, especially when it comes to getting lean. A lot of the times people think that the right answer is to starve themselves to get lean. There's a lot of ways that people can end up kind of fat and unhealthy. You could actually undereat your way to being fat and unhealthy. You could overeat your way to being fat and unhealthy. You could overstress your way to being fat and unhealthy. There's a lot of things that go into all that. But really, at the end of the day, we give people three major rules that we follow at Fitness on Fire, and we try to get people to focus on that stuff. And number one, it's eat real food. Eat real food. If you couldn't chase it or you couldn't grow it, there's probably a good chance that you probably shouldn't eat it. Yeah. So people are like, oh, but what about bread? Like, dude, where's the bread tree at? Yeah. I've never seen a bread tree. I don't eat bread. So eat real food, right? Find it from nature in its most natural source. And that could be a whole show maybe for another time.
Sure, of course. But, yeah, let's do that.
Number two, hydration. Making sure that you're really drinking a lot of water. I think that for most people, an easy recommendation is about half your body weight in ounces of water every day. So if I'm almost 180 pounds, I should be drinking at least 90 ounces of water a day. That's a bare minimum. And then if you have a sweat loss rate where you're working out hard and the heat and stuff, you might need more. And then the last part of this that goes into nutrition, believe it or not, is actually your sleep, making sure that you're getting good quality sleep. So for early guys like us that get up early, people are like, oh, how do you guys get up so early? It's actually about what time do I go to bed every night, right? I'm in bed by 9:30 at the latest every night. And that's how I get up at 4 in the mornings. So you don't actually get in shape from working out. You actually break your body down. And then through proper nutrition and recovery, your body repairs itself. And that's where the growth happens. So if you don't allow the actual rebuilding phase to happen, and then that's where people they end up chasing their tail in the gym a little bit.
Yeah. I'm laughing to myself as I'm thinking people with my OCD body dysmorphic behavior. And you talk about, you know, maybe how do you lose weight? Just stop eating. Well, a term that I've coined with some of my friends is skinny fat, right?
Sure.
So you're losing weight, but you're getting fatter. So you're smaller, but you have carrying more body fat because you're not fueling enough, right?
So absolutely correct. We have an in-body machine at Fitness on Fire, which is like the super 3D scanner thing that shows people their bone density, their muscle tissue, and their body fat, and their hydration levels. And it's pretty cool to see that we can measure if you're losing muscle tissue along your weight loss journey. So it's not just about like what's happening on the scale. It's actually what's happening underneath the hood.
Right.
Are you actually having that body composition change? And that's where you have to fuel your muscle to keep your muscle.
Yeah.
And eventually your muscle becomes like a passive burning source for you. Eventually your muscle burns fat for you if you can just keep it.
Yeah. And I think this is happens a little bit more with women than with men. Oh, I want to lose weight, so I'm not going to lift weights. I'm just going to do cardio. And then you and I both know that gaining a little bit of muscle helps you burn more energy, which helps you lose more weight.
Sure.
So there is that fine line, but it's definitely an education process. Have you found that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that just very simple understandings, women have a high level of estrogen. So what that means is that essentially, testosterone is what makes people big and bulky. So for those guys that are huge, most of the time they're on something extracurricular, right? And for the women that are huge, like those giant buff women, though, that's not natural. If you're going to gain size weightlifting as a woman, you'd have to be in such a caloric surplus. You'd have to be eating so much more than your body's burning. Really, if you're lifting weights, you're going to actually get leaner and denser. You're not going to get bigger. So I'm talking like bikini model muscle, not Arnold Schwarzenegger muscle for most women. That's so a really hard learning curve.
A myth buster. Mm-hmm. Actually, we definitely need to do a show again. We'll call it Myth Busters. That's
fun.
Definitely right up there.
That'd be really fun.
All right. So, I spent, you know, 90% of my fitness career you know, everyone talks about cardio, right? Cardio, cardio, cardio. And then when you and I got together, I know it had been around before, but you, I think, taught me the benefits of HIIT training, mm-hmm. high intensity interval training. So why don't you share with the listeners a little bit more about what that is and how it works and how it's beneficial?
Sure. And I think that cardio is, this could be a longer conversation as well, so I'll try to keep it super short. But with cardio, especially slow, long distance cardio, this is where typically people do cardio for so long that they're actually starting to burn through their lean tissue. They're starting to lose muscle while doing their cardio. So an analogy that's very simple to understand, and all kinds of respect for marathon runners and, and endurance athletes. But if you see a marathon runner next to a sprinter, like
so different.
The body types are completely different, right? And it's because the sprinters do high intensity intervals. They do maximum effort anaerobic work. Kind of balls to the wall work, right? Everything they've got effort with long rest periods. Hard work, long rest periods. Hard work, long rest periods. So it's short, intense bursts with longer rest periods or very low, intense intervals. So sometimes an example would be doing something that you can't really mess up from a technique standpoint. You don't want to get super technical where you're going to hurt yourself in the gym. But let's say you're on like a bike or something and you're going really hard on the bike. You do a 10-second all-out sprint on the bike. Then you have a 30, 40-second rest where you recover fully. And then you go 100% effort on the bike for another 10 seconds. And you repeat this for maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes. HIIT training can be very flexible in how long you approach the HIIT training for. But typically you get a better result in a shorter amount of time. And you aren't going, you're not stressing the system in a way that's going to actually burn through your muscle tissue. So for us guys that want to, you know, keep six-pack abs and look a certain kind of way, we don't want to burn through all our muscle tissue. So that's a good cheat for it.
So would you recommend HIIT training? Is that something, if someone's used to doing cardio every day, would they do HIIT training every day or would you mix it up?
If their goal is about aesthetics, if it's about looking good, having like maintaining their muscle tissue, those kind of things, I would recommend HIIT training opposed to slow long distance cardio. The reason I do slow long distance cardio for like my trail running and stuff like that is because I'm looking to perform for a race or something like that. So that's the benefit I'm looking for there. But for most people, slow long distance cardio doesn't actually make a lot of sense unless you're trying to go a certain distance or something.
So HIIT training every day, no mixing it up.
I think you could definitely do HIIT training very frequently, if not every day.
All right. Learn something again. All right, Josh. We're actually, believe it or not, we're winding out to the very end. And it's certainly been a pleasure. It's nice just to kind of talk about things that we're both passionate about. So thank you for coming in today. But I do have the pleasure of asking you what we call our final thought question. So please share with us and the listeners your ultimate lesson learned as your career in the fitness profession.
My ultimate lesson learned, and I knew you were going to ask this question as I've been listening to your podcast. There's some good ones. Everybody's answered these questions good. You have to take 100% responsibility for your life. That's it. At the end of the day, you're in control of what happens to you. Everything that happens in your life happens to you because of something you've done or something you've allowed to happen. So if you focus on the things you can control in your life, you can create anything you want. The people I see that are successful in the gym, they're successful because they're not victims. They're victors. They rise up and they take control over their life. 100% responsibility.
Love that. Love that. What's one of the records you still hold?
One of the records I still hold, I think I have the fastest pin in my high school for wrestling. I think it was a 5-second pin.
Love that. Love that.
Standing cradle.
All right, Josh. Thanks again for joining us in the studio today. And for those of you who would like to learn more about Josh and Fitness on Fire, you can visit him at www.fitnessonfireoc.com. Thanks so much to everyone who's turned in, and we look forward to seeing you back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.